Hello, this is Pastor Vic's Nuggets Show, podcasting from historic Hyde Park, New York. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Torres, pastor, teacher, and author. And I'll be presenting a series on Christ, Christians, and Christianity from a biblical perspective. My focus will be on the love, forgiveness, and acceptance found in Jesus Christ, which enables us to live victoriously. Nothing on this earth can be more important than eternity. To get the right perspective on this, we have to realize that we're not human beings having a spiritual experience, but we really are spiritual beings having a human experience. It's really incorrect to think that we're simply physical beings hoping to touch the eternal spiritual realm. We are, in fact, spiritual beings in human bodies, and those bodies will one day pass away, but we will live on in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:18, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or transient," in other words, the physical realm, the world we live in. "But the things which are not seen are eternal," or the spiritual. So join me as we delve into the deeper things of God, hopefully to help you make your own decisions based upon God's Word. That's the Bible. Now let's begin looking at what Jesus said to his followers in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 7. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father," meaning Father God, "except through me." This is a profound truth about Christianity. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. He's all of these things. But for now, I'd like to examine one aspect of this statement, and that is that Jesus is the truth. We now live in an age referred to by some as the information age. We're overloaded with information or data through the internet, social media, TV, radio, movies, lots of data or information. But is everything we hear or read true? Because we deal with such a great volume of information, we really don't have the time to analyze its truthfulness. So not all the information we get is accurate, and we can't count on the world systems of the government or the media to give us the truth. As a result, we may have accepted as true many ideas or opinions which are in fact not true at all. Now, as a result of misinformation, many people outside of Christianity have formed ideas and concepts about Christianity, and it's not based on the truth. As a matter of fact, I'd even go so far to say that even many Christians have misconceptions about what Christianity is or what it's not. And the purpose of this show or this podcast is to reveal Bible-based insights, again, as to who Jesus Christ is, what a Christian is, and the nature of Christianity. I would say that the most important consideration, the root, if you will, of the Christian belief system is that it's all about Jesus Christ and Him alone. You see, as a Christian, our identity is not in a religion or a denomination or a local church or a group of people. A Christian's identity must be in Jesus Christ, because He was the one, God in the flesh, who came to earth, died for your sins, removed the wall of separation between you and the Father, and promised eternal life to those that would follow Him. Another very important consideration is that being a Christian means that there's been an encounter with Jesus, and that encounter instilled a desire to know more about Him. Now, I want to emphasize the word know, because so many rely on intellectual knowing with the mind alone. What is more important is to know Jesus on a spiritual level. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." This point is so important, so let me repeat it. Christianity is not something you can understand with only the intellect or the mind. Christianity, in fact, must be spiritually appraised. That is, we must use spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, and a spiritual openness to comprehend spiritual things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, that's not to say that some aspects of Christianity cannot be intellectually understood, but we have to recognize that there are going to be areas that are too deep for the human mind to comprehend. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So in other words, what Isaiah was saying, or what the prophet was saying, is that when we encounter those areas that are too deep or too high for human understanding, we are called to accept them by faith. You see, faith is how we appropriate or connect to the spiritual things of God. After all, as I've said earlier, God is spirit. It is by faith we understand him. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith in this way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for are those promises that are made by God in his word. The evidence of things not seen, of course, is the spiritual dimension that God exists in. Until we come to grips with the fact that being a Christian means a spiritual relationship with God, we're always going to be frustrated by our misunderstanding of what God did, what a Christian is, and of course the nature of Christianity. So, what is a Christian? Like most people, I'm sure you've had this thought. You look at some of the people who call themselves Christian, you say, how can they call themselves Christians? Or more importantly, you know, and he or she calls themselves a Christian? Looking at some of the behavior of Christians can be puzzling. That's why it's important to clearly understand what a Christian is before we make those kinds of judgments. Now, of course, Christians should not be judging others. But as human beings, I'm sure you'll agree with me that it's really very difficult to avoid. Right now, there are approximately 7.6 billion people on the face of the earth today. The largest religious groups, or the largest religious group, are the Christians. There are about 2.5 billion people, almost a third of the world's population, who identify themselves as being Christians. A definition of a Christian, according to the dictionary, Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is one who professes belief in the teachings of Jesus Christ. I think it would be fair to say that 2.5 billion people profess Jesus Christ, at least intellectually with their minds. And that's an important point, intellectually with their minds. That is, they believe that Jesus existed, he was a good person, and he died on the cross for our sins. But looking at our definition, the key words are profess belief in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Frankly, many Christians in the world today don't even know what Jesus taught. Therefore, they have no motivation to apply those teachings to their lives. I've had the personal good fortune of being able to do ministry in Africa, in Asia, in Eastern Europe, Caribbean, and of course in the United States. And I can see four general groups or segments of the Christian population. Now let's see how they fit into the dictionary definition that we have of a Christian, that is, professing a belief in the teachings of Jesus Christ. First, I'm going to name the four groups, and then we're going to take a look at each one of them. The first one is what we would call a nominal Christian. Secondly, we have the generational Christians. Third, we have the syncretic Christians. And four, we have the born-again Christians. Looking at number one, a nominal Christian. Now, a nominal Christian is one who identifies with a particular church or Christian denomination. That person may or may not be a church attender. They may have or not have a Bible. But nevertheless, if you were to ask them, they would say, yes, I'm a Christian. Some examples of nominal Christians are those people who convert to Christianity in order to marry or convert because of social, cultural pressures to fit in this category. A second group of people might be those that, you know, they're filling out a form for, and one of the questions on the form is the religious affiliation. Now, I don't even know if they do that much anymore, but I know they used to at one time. And quite frankly, they know they're not Jewish, they're not Buddhist, they're not Islamic, and they're not Hindu. and therefore they check the category they think fits, Christian. The third group in this category of nominal Christian would be those that see value in Christian moral and ethics, and they want their children to develop those Christian values. So they attend a Christian church for that reason, really for the sake of the children. And fourth, you know, along with that, there are those people who identify with being a Christian because they want their children not to go to a public school, and so they put them into a Christian private school. And therefore, they will identify with being Christians to derive the benefits of going to a Christian school. The second group of people are the what I would call the generational Christians. This is one whose Christian identity is taken from their parents or their family. Now, that person may be a church attender or not. It really doesn't matter. All they know is that they're Christian. It's only natural that a child would adopt the religion of their parents, and it's no different for Christian families. However, unless a child has a personal experience with Jesus Christ, they will simply continue in the traditions of the family, not really understanding what Christianity is. The third group of Christian is what I would call the syncretic Christian. Now, the word syncretic or the word syncretism, when applied to religion, means that two religions are blended together to form one religion which is acceptable to the population. We might say politically correct. So a syncretic Christian is one who takes on the Christian label, but practices a Christianity that is blended with other, even non-Christian religions or cults. And it's this blending of Christianity that truly makes them not a Christian in terms of professing to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, the fourth category is how Jesus defined a Christian. He said that they must be born again. A born-again Christian is a Christian who professes repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and understands the spiritual nature of Christianity. That person may be a church attender or not. Now, we'll have much more to say about being a born-again Christian in our next post or our next episode. But a born-again Christian is clearly defined in the story of Jesus with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Now, as we close, you can see it isn't the fact that you go to a Christian church that makes you a Christian. I think you should go. You need to find the right Christian church. Nevertheless, going to church does not make one a Christian, any more than going into McDonald's makes you a hamburger. The real issue is and always has been, do you know Jesus on a personal level? And are you following hard after him? Are you professing? Are you living the teachings of Jesus Christ? Do you know him?
Thanks for listening to Pastor Vic's Nuggets. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website at www.PastorVicsNuggets.com or www.PastorVic.com. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time.